You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon.
We cannot even love one another if we cannot love the Lord first. Because it says in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 27 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So the second commandment is to love your neighbor. So the first is to love the Lord with everything you have, because God created us to love Him. And now we are going to see who is our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? So we are going to do a study on who is our neighbor. Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, that is, testing Christ, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is Luke chapter 10, starting from 25. Then he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave him to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this portion and expose the scriptures so that we can get a fuller understanding of this parable. And here, when this lawyer came and posed a question to Jesus, testing him, in verse 26, Jesus said to go to the law. What does the law say? If something happens in this country, what does the law say? And here, The law of God gives direction. It gives guidance to our questions. And the remember what the law is here, how the first commandment is to love the Lord. And this is the loving the Lord is how we need to love the Lord with all our heart, mind and soul. That is, Jews prayed on this twice a day. That is called the Shema. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, you will see the Shema. How the Jews prayed twice a day on this Deuteronomy 6:4. It is saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart." This is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, morning and evening." This is the prayer that the Jews prayed. And the greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord. With all your heart, mind and soul and strength, that means with all the power and affection that we have. With understanding, with intelligence, with the mind. And we know that Adam, who can obey this commandment? The fallen sinner cannot. Because we saw in last week's study, the fallen sinner, they are enmity with God. Romans 8:7, right? They are enemies of the gospel. But who can? Of course, Adam could at the very beginning. Because Adam was made without that sinful nature. Adam was made innocent, without any guilt in him. He was pure. Adam was righteous before God. No sin in him. There was no sin nature in Adam. So Adam, he had the capability to obey the commandments of God. However, he failed. So even the Christians, although we are regenerated, we are living in a world, wicked world, and our flesh is still weak. We still have that fallen flesh in us. Even the Christian, we are utterly unable to keep this commandment, to love the Lord with everything what we have. With all our mind, heart and everything, all the powers we have, we can't. We are unable to perform this without the grace of God. So the fallen man is enmity toward God, he cannot perform this commandment, yet he is obligated to love the Lord. Verse 29 says, now this lawyer came on Luke chapter 10:29. And he wanted to justify himself, and he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" The Jews wanted to show their righteousness before men. And they wanted to justify before God by their good works. He asked this question, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, here he was more concerned on the second part, loving the neighbor instead of loving the Lord. Right? He didn't go to the first part and said, "Lord, how can I justify before you?" But instead he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" He missed the first part. And the first part is to love the Lord with all your heart. He does not take notice into the account how we can be justified before God. But he was more concerned how he can be justified before man. So when he said, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus is talking to who here? He's talking to a Jew, right? A lawyer. A Jew. When he said, "Who is my neighbor?" whom is he referring to? Was he referring to a Gentile? No. It's not. He meant for the Jew, the neighbor is a Jew. He meant an Israelite of the same religion. As it says, thou shalt love your neighbor as what? Thyself. Like yourself. A neighbor in the same blood and religion. For the Jew, thou shalt love your neighbor except the Gentiles. Jews didn't. For them, it is the Jews. Because the blessing is for whom? Only for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. They are the barbarians. They are not our neighbors. It's only the Jews. That's the way the Jews saw. Even Nicodemus, how he missed this whole concept when Jesus said, "How God so loved the world." Meaning who? Not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. But the Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" For the Jew, is only God is only for them. Here Jesus gives the answers to the question of in this parable. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two interpretations of this. The first one is the direct one where most of us have heard, and the second one is something very different. It's something hidden, but it's kind of hard to see, but it is very beneficial and profitable for us. In verse 30, here we see Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." He's talking to the Jew. The story is Jewish. And this certain man, I'm sure, is a Jewish. And a Jew. And he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Here we see a man going from Jerusalem. It says that he went down to Jericho. That means Jerusalem is on a high location. But where is Jericho? Down in the valley. Then he fell among thieves. This was a very common experience during those days, to fall into the hands of the bandits or the thieves. From Jerusalem to Jericho is about 40 miles. It's about a 4 to 6 hour walk, journey. And here, while he was traveling, he fell into the hands of the thieves. And this happened on the way to Jericho. There is a place on the way to Jericho which is called Adomim. And the word Adomim, it signifies blood. As much blood was shed there, as many fell into the hands of thieves. And this was called the Red and the Bloody Way. Even though the Romans placed some troops there, they could not help. It didn't help. So what did these thieves do? The first thing they did was they stripped him of his clothes. This is the first thing the thieves would do. Why? To get the money, all what he had. Then they wounded him. In Greek, the word wounded here is plague, meaning to strike him with blows. If you see in Luke chapter 12, 48, hold on to that and turn to Luke 12:48. It's used here. "But he did not know yet, committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few." So here we see that he's been beaten. It's the same word that is been used. And also Acts chapter 16:23. Acts 16:23. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, throwing him to the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. This is Apostle Paul. How these stripes, these are blows striking them. This is what the bandits did. They left him half dead. And this is a vivid picture of robbery. Half dead, meaning he's on his way, he's going to die. And here we see this poor man desperately needs help. He was physically beaten, wounded, about to die. He was naked, and his money is all gone. Then verse 13, back to 31, Luke 10:31. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And here comes a priest. The priest, there are a lot of priests at this time. The priests lived in Jericho. They lived in Jericho, so they traveled back and forth. So what is the work of the priest? The work of the priest is to represent the people to God. That's what the priest did. He is the one who mediated between God and man. He is the one who represents your prayers, our supplications, our sins to God by doing a sacrifice. And he is a man of God. And here comes a man of God. And he is exposed to God more than anybody else. He can pray to God on behalf of this poor man who has been beaten. And he can take care of him. He saw the man who was beaten. He was wounded, beaten up. And he was about to die. But he looked at him and said, doesn't look like my neighbor. Crossed the street to the other side. He crossed the street to the other side as if, he didn't see him. And also the priest, according to the law, the priest is not to be defiled by touching a dead body. But of course this man is not dead, still dying. So whatever he compromised is not right. He said, sorry, he is not my neighbor. Then verse 32, likewise comes a Levite. When he arrived at that place, came, he looked and passed by on the other side, just like the priest. The Levites were selected for God's glory. They were selected for God's glory. These Levites were the only tribe that was not to go to war. They did not have secular jobs, but they devoted themselves in the sanctuary of God. They took care of the tabernacle. And here is another man of God who is exposed to God. But he too looked, then crossed the road and said, not my neighbor. I don't know this guy. Then verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. A certain Samaritan. Who are the Samaritans? Strictly speaking, Samaritans would be an inhabitant of the city of Samaria. They would be Samaritans. The term would apply to all the people of the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. But what happened was, after the captivity of Israel, remember in 722 BC, Israel was conquered. And during the time of our Lord, the word Samaritans were applied to a different people, These are the new Samaritans. It's not the Samaritans who lived at that time. These are a new type of Samaritans. These are really Chaldeans who came from Chaldeans, and they were put in Samaria. Okay, if you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 24. Probably I missed the scripture there. Let's see. Oh, sorry. 17:24, 2 Kings. Okay. Here it is. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon. So who conquered the northern Israel, a northern part of Israel, up to it was Assyria who conquered. They brought people from Babylon, Kuta, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in those cities. And actually 17:22, if you go back to, for the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did, they did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. He had said by all his servants the prophets, so Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria as it is of this day. And here the king of Israel brought these people, especially from Chaldeans, Babylon, and put them in Samaria. What happened was these people were idol worshippers. But gradually they abandoned their idolatry and they partially adopted the Jewish religion. So when the children of Israel, remember when they were captured by King Nebuchadnezzar, right? How Daniel and the others were taken. When they came back from their captivity to their homeland, these Samaritans wanted to participate in rebuilding the temple. The first thing what they did when the children of Israel came from their captivity, what did they do? They want to rebuild the temple, right? So these Samaritans, who partially adopted the Jewish culture, they too wanted to help. But the Jews, they refused to help. They said, no, we don't want your help. And what happened? They became enemies after that. And you will see this in Ezra chapter 4. If you read it. And so the Samaritans to the Jews were like strangers. And if you see Luke chapter 17 verse 18. Luke 17, Jesus said how there were 10 people who had lepers, and how Jesus healed all of them. But it was only the Samaritan who came and gave praise to God. Verse 18, were not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And that foreigner, of course, was a Samaritan. So, here we see a Samaritan coming. In Luke chapter 10, you know, we go back to the story, and here we see another man coming. And that was a Samaritan. This Samaritan, he did not sidestep or dodge the situation like the others. He saw the poor man's condition and he had compassion on him. The priest and the Levite hardened their heart on their own man. But the Samaritan had compassion on his enemy. Because the Jews and the Samaritans, they never got along together. They were enemies. They were hostile to each other. Remember Jesus in John, I believe in John chapter 4, how he wanted to go through Samaria, right? And the disciples is going through Samaria. We don't want to go through Samaria. And even if we went to the Samaria at the well, what did the disciples? We want to get away. Unless they found an excuse, let's go and get some food. And they were away for a long time, but Jesus was there. But nobody wants to go through Samaria. And here the Samaritan man comes and he sees a Jew. But he had compassion on him. It was his, It was like an enemy. But yet, he had compassion on his enemy. Samaritan would have said, "Oh, he's a Jew. I have nothing to do with him. He's not my neighbor." But this man, who was helpless, pitiful, who was wounded, he was a Jew and he was human. He was in a bad condition. He needed help. So, "And you did not clothe me sick in prison." So, we need to honor all men, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their color, regardless how they look, regardless of their culture. And in the church, even in the church today, how many times we say, "I don't like him because he looks like Middle Eastern," or "I don't like him because he's like Chinese," or "he's black," or "he's white," or, we should not be like that. There is no color. Even if somebody comes and talks and so forth, we try to laugh and, "Oh, look at his accent, look what he does, kind of weird, isn't it?" And we all laugh. That's not right. It's not right. You cannot be prejudiced. Else we see some people, we say, "Oh, this guy is too fat. What's the matter with him?" We can't be like that as Christians. "Oh, this guy is, he's all bald-headed. What's the matter with him?" Here we judge people and things like that. We as Christians, we should not be. And here the compassion of the Samaritan, it was a real genuine compassion. It's a real genuine compassion. In James chapter 2 verse 15 says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and any of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' not only to the body, what does it profit?" And here, if somebody is really in need of food, hunger, clothing, and naked, and we cannot say, "I'll pray for you, brother. Be warm and filled, I'm going to pray for you." And a lot of times you say you pray for you, and you don't even pray. And you pass away. As a way just to get by. What does it do if you don't really give? Doesn't make any sense. If you remember, in Isaiah chapter 58, it's a great chapter. Isaiah 58. Turn with me to Isaiah 58. The people of Israel is saying, "Look what we have done. We have fasted before God and we have done all these things." But God is saying here, in verse 4, "Indeed you have fast for a strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of the wickedness. You will not fast as you do this to make your voice heard on high." Verse 5, "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread his sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast?" Verse 10 says here, "If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul to drought." And this is the kind of fast that the Lord is looking. And this is a true fast. In Proverbs chapter 31, 20, the virtuous woman, right? Proverbs 31, I'm sorry. We know that all women read this chapter. 31, 20 says, "She extends her hand to the poor Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is the virtuous woman. See how friendly this good Samaritan was. First, he went to the poor man, whom the priest and the Levite just crossed the other side of the road. He looked at him and his heart really went out for him. Secondly, we see his urgency in verse 34. His urgency in Luke chapter 10, 34, and took care of him. We see his urgency because he was about to die. He needed help. He took his own clothing. He cleansed the wound with oil and wine, whatever he had. And he set him on his own animal. And he walked. He had to, you know, these are the sacrifices he had to make. He walked and brought him to an inn. And he paid for the board and lodging. And he took care, and he told the innkeeper to take care of him. Verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And said, showed the person who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And this Samaritan, he loved his neighbor. He saw his neighbor was in trouble, and he loved his neighbor as he loved himself. Do you love yourself? We all do. But here is a story. Your neighbor can be anywhere. And if that person is in deep, deep trouble, you need to love him just the way you love yourself. When your neighbor is in genuine need, I'm talking genuine need because there are so many things. Today, there are a lot of false things, you know. So we need to be very careful because we are living in a wicked generation. It could be a trap. So we need to use the wisdom, discernment. But if somebody is in genuine need, we need to help them. Here we see the social aspect of Christianity. Remember, Abraham was a stranger in another land. But how God, from His mercy, how He brought Abraham from his idol-worshipping country and brought him to another nation because of God's mercy. How we need to take care of strangers. Exodus 23:9 says, also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 11 says, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy maids, manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place of the Lord thy God had chosen to place his name there. Job chapter 31 verse 32 says, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. And Zechariah chapter 7 verse 10. Widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Of course, we know this. Matthew chapter 25 verse 35. Matthew 25:35. Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And these are the righteous people. Righteous in a sense, they were righteous people. They were trying to justify their own righteousness among men, and they even call himself Lord. And it's very interesting. And Jesus said, when did we see you a stranger? They asked. Oh, then the king will answer, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of these least of these brethren, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you give me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick, in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or sick in prison? Then he will answer to them and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. In Ezekiel, God says why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They did not help. Well, we are living in a country with abundance of food. We go to the store and we look for the name brand. We look, I don't like this. I want this. Even when we cook food and so forth like that, we have in the refrigerator, we don't want to eat the leftovers. But on the other side of the world, people are starving just to eat the crumbs, just to live. In Calcutta, as I told you the story, in India, Calcutta, every day a cart goes on the street just to pick up the people who died of starvation every single day. And here, we are digging our graves with our forks, really. There's too much abundance of food. And on the other side of the world, people are starving. And it's easy to come and pray for the missionaries and the other people, but it's something that we should sacrifice. We need to be good stewards also, God said. We need to be good stewards. And we need to strengthen the poor and the needy. But also we need to remember, we should not have a bad motive and say, he's a Christian. He's supposed to do this thing to me. And with a bad motive, we come and trying to take advantage is not right either. And there are a lot of people who would take advantage of saying, he's a Christian, he's a pastor, he should do this to me. That's not right either. Now let us see the other side of the coin here, of this parable. Let us see the other side of the meaning that is going to be very profitable for us. And this is the one that you have heard before, what I told you, I believe. And that we need to help people. This is Christianity. This is Christianity in action. How Jesus went to help those who are in need. And this is what we need to do. And we will show our love to the other people by the love of God. It's like during the World War II, there was this orphan. And there was a donut shop, and he is there watching these beautiful, these donuts inside, so warm and creamy, and he's so hungry. And there was this Christian soldier who saw this, and he went inside the donut shop, and he brought a dozen of donuts, and he gave it to the little boy. And the boy asked, are you God? Are you God? Because that was amazing. That shows, the love of Christ. When we do that, the Bible should be not only written in our hearts, but it should come into action.
Now, the other side of the story is the distance from Jerusalem, as I said, is about 40 miles. And as I told you, Jerusalem is located in high ground and Jericho in the valley. And Jerusalem is the place where people went to worship God. It's the city of God. And what is Jericho? Jericho is a city that is cursed by Joshua. God destroyed this city, remember, in the times of Joshua. And even in the times of Christ, Jericho was a wicked place. And here we see the city of God and the city of a wicked place. And this man, he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And here we see from the city of God to the wicked place. What we see here is from top to the bottom, a fallen nature here. Here we see the fall. Adam, who was peaceful with God, who was righteous with God, he departed from the peaceful state to a most miserable state. And he fell. Man in his nature is fallen from Jerusalem to Jericho. He lost his communion of worshipping God. The fellowship was broken, and his love and his worship, where he had at the beginning, now from Jerusalem, that love and worship is in the worldly, wicked city of Jericho. That's where people worship. Satan is called a thief in the Bible. And here we see, not only we fell, but with the fall, because we were obedient to Satan, Satan, what is his job? He comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And so, this will be expressed of the fallen man, where he fell into the hands of who? Satan. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, because there is no truth in him. He speaketh of his own. He speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of him. And here we see the fallen man. What happened? He was stripped out of his own clothing. And the first thing the thief will do is to take your clothing off. This signifies that we were made in the original righteousness of God. But when we fell, we lost that original righteousness. That means our clothes, the righteousness of our clothes was stripped, and we were naked. Miserable. Nothing to cover. We were exposed to the law of God and to the wrath of God. We were wounded. And this is what sin is. Sin is, you will see the sin. It's all wounds. That's what you see. Then the thieves departed this man half dead. And this shows the power of Satan. And the malice of Satan, what Satan can do. We were like the poor man who traveled on this earth, was beaten up by Satan, wounded by sin, and left to die. We were dead in our sins, unable to help ourselves, right? We were helpless, without strength. The priest and the Levite represents what? The law of God. And what did the law do? It condemned us. That's what the law do. The law came to condemn the sinners, to show you are condemned. Then comes the compassion. Then comes the grace. Then comes the Savior. Then comes the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to a miserable man who is helpless, who was utterly powerless. And this is the true Samaritan. He had mercy upon us. He bind our bleeding wounds. He poured oil and His blood is so infinitely precious, was poured upon our sins. In Psalm 147 verse 3, 47, the Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers together outcasts of Israel, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars, He calls them by name. Here He heals the broken. That's what He did. He binds up their wounds. Then verse 5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power, His understanding is infinite. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. So here we see He Himself carried us. We were helpless. We couldn't pay. But God paid the price to the Father. God paid the price. He credited to His account His righteousness. His love was magnified when what He did for us, when we realize how much indebted we are to Him. This is the other side of the story. This is a story that is most powerful, that we don't see a lot of times. This is a true Samaritan, Jesus Christ. And now, Jesus, you see the other side of the story. So whatever Jesus did, we need to follow. Right? We need to follow Him. The Bible says, follow Him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We need to follow in His footsteps. And we need to repent.